what are the things that I can control, right? Control the controllables, make your decisions, move forward, have a plan. I'm not saying go into something and have no earthly idea what you're doing, but execute. Let nothing stop you from executing.
Welcome to the High Voltage Business Builders, a show where we interview people committed to making their next million through passive income using real estate, brokering, e-commerce, and beyond. If you're a passionate business builder yourself, visit voltageb2b.com to get in touch now.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the call. I have my good friend here, Jay. Jay, welcome to the call, sir.
Thank you so much, Neil. It's great to see you. And thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to serve your wonderful audience.
Yeah, I do have a great audience, and they always love to consume content around e-com and real estate investing, mindset, business growth. They like to listen to what others are doing and obviously glean tidbits and information. And so I'm hoping in the next little bit here together that we can share something they can take away from this call and use today to help them better their lives, better their business, better what they're doing today. And as a high voltage business builder, I'm honored to have you on this call to have this conversation today, because you are a big proponent of mindset. You're a big proponent of building people up in whatever kinds of business models. Let's dig into that a little bit. Let's talk about you. Let's learn a little bit about who you are, your background.
Absolutely. So I'll give you a snapshot primarily of my professional career. So I had a 32, 33 year corporate career. Loved it. Born and raised in Virginia. That's not where I live today. I'm actually in Florida, where I'm recording this from. But 32 years and held a number of different positions over those years, typically in leadership and management roles, sales leadership, etc. And my last position that I had in corporate before I decided to leave was with a Berkshire Hathaway company. And thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved the corporate life. When I first got into my very first corporate position, it was a very conservative company. I'm wearing a suit and tie every day, and I felt good. And I was actually making some good progress, building some decent relationships and moving up the corporate ladder at a fairly rapid clip. And I was introduced in, oh, let's say 3 years into my corporate career, I was introduced to a Dale Carnegie course. I'd never heard of Dale Carnegie before. I'd never heard of personal development before. It just never entered my sphere of consciousness. And the company that I was working for at the time asked me to go ahead and take this Dale Carnegie course. And it was really a course on human relations. And it was an excellent course to help me better refine my skills on speech, how to speak in public, how to use my voice properly, how to build more resiliency, how to show up with more confidence. And it was really an amazing, amazing course. Well, through that, I started to meet others. I was introduced to other authors in the personal development space. And one thing led to the next. And next thing I know, I could not consume enough of that content. And it really began to change the way that I viewed the world. It changed the way that I was showing up for my company, for my family, for my customers. And an interesting thing happened along the way. My ego got in my way, quite frankly, but I didn't know it. I thought that I was doing the things that I needed to do to be successful. I was showing up the way that I thought others needed me to show up. And the reality is I was being rewarded for the behaviors that I thought were leading to the success that I was achieving. But it wasn't until years later when not only did family members approach me, but those who were close to me, who were confident enough to look at me in the face and say, "This is becoming a problem, right? You're isolating yourself. You're not being as effective as you could be. It's more about you than it is about the team, than it is about us." And that reality hit me square in the face. And, you know, it was a series of tough conversations. And so I really had to take a step back and do even more work on myself so I could grow and start to identify those blind spots But there were some important lessons that I learned, Neil, along that journey that helped me today in the coaching work that I do and how I help others. So fast forward, and we can talk about any of these topics as you want to maybe peel back a bit. But so fast forward a bit, 32, 33 years in corporate, I decide it's the right time for me to leave and start my own business. Not only did I have the confidence to do so, I had the experience, I had the relationships, I knew it was the right time. So left the corporate world, started my own coaching and consulting business, where I also advise companies, and I absolutely love it. I started that business in 2017 and have grown that organically, just basically one customer at a time. So I do one-to-one coaching, I do group coaching, I speak on stages, advise companies, as I mentioned. And then I also have a podcast where I had an amazing guest, Neil Toi, on there as well. And it's just, it's really been a fantastic journey with tons of lessons learned, lots of opportunities for growth, plenty of failures along the way. And I'm continuing to learn and I'm continuing to grow. And I'm so grateful for the opportunities I've had. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you today.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great story. I mean, 33 years in the corporate world, I didn't quite spend that long, but I had gotten my fill after about 15 years of doing it. And what is it that actually triggered that moment? Like you said, you went to, you know, Dale Carnegie's Institute and you looked at this. What was that moment where you triggered, okay, this is enough? Like, what made that jump? Where was that moment where you said, I'm out of here?
Yeah, it's a good question. As I look back, and I've really had to contemplate on that very question, because sometimes there's not one particular thing that you can point to. In my case, it was a series of events. Number one was, if I was going to move further up the corporate ladder with the company that I was with at that time, the Berkshire Hathaway Company, it would have required a move to where their corporate office was located. That was going to be a very tough move. I was already traveling every single week. And that also, over a period of years, was taking its toll, from entertaining to almost every meal. My lifestyle wasn't as healthy as it could have been. I wasn't getting in the gym as much because I was spending so much time on an airplane. So anyway, a combination of that, not necessarily wanting to make the move because I didn't feel it was the right move for me. And also, I was just taking a look ahead and I realized that, look, if I want to be in control of, to the best of my ability, of my own destiny, do the things that I want to do that truly do fulfill me, that give me energy, that give me great joy, and where I can make a greater impact, I need to do that on my own. And it was also wanting to be able to prove to myself that I could do it, that I could take everything that I had learned and be able to pour into others in my own organization. So that was really the catalyst behind making the jump at that moment.
Yeah, and that's actually very familiar to me personally, as you explain that, because we didn't really talk about this, but my life at IBM was, we jokingly call it, I've been moved. Because we were moving somewhere every week. It was, you've got to move to somewhere if you're not traveling. And then it was literally the corporate lifestyle of consulting that you were talking about, and the constant movement and the constant entertaining and the constant eating out. You know, I ballooned to 100 pounds above where I am now. In my worst case scenario while I was working there, was 320 pounds. So I hated that lifestyle, and that really broke my mind, right? And it really broke my confidence in who I was, and had to kind of redefine. It sounds like same, you know, similar story to what you had. There was just moments of things that a number of things added up to just said, this is not the guy I want to be anymore.
That's exactly right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we face that reality at different stages in life. And I'll just be perfectly candid with you. Yeah. I actually should have made that decision years earlier. I really should have. I mean, now, you know, as I'm looking back and I have greater perspective because I have enough distance from it, it becomes crystal clear that years earlier, I had reached a point where, even though I was performing and even though I was doing the things that I needed to do, I wasn't fully vested the way that I should have been. And that should have been the red flag to me, because when I go all in on something, I go all in. I give everything I've got to it. And I did that for so many years, but I started to realize that something, there was some part of the magic behind what I really enjoyed out of a corporate career that just wasn't there. And I needed to find that. And part of that finding was the personal journey, right? Discovering more about myself, discovering more about the way that I can serve and the way that I can help others.
Well, those systems are not geared for individuality. They're geared for corporate, hence the word corporate. We've heard it in other ways in the world. Corporate organizations, corporate worship, corporate things are geared to take individuals out and move you into a group setting and move that group forward. And so it takes away the individuality, if you understand what I mean by that. And it moves you to a position of, you know, if you operate outside of the corporate, if you are an individual who sees yourself becoming different, that system is not built to handle you. It's not built to encourage that. As much as they say it is, I can guarantee you when you're on the outside of it long enough, you realize how much it's actually meant to entrap you into a situation that feels, disempowering. It's not, there's not an empowered aspect to that life. You are now an empowered person. It's one of the things I loved about talking to you and getting to know you. You have now become an empowered person, which has allowed you to then serve and lead others in empowerment, which is one of the things I know you're doing really well now.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's not to say, let me just back up for one moment, because there are plenty of people that corporate positions serve very, very well. There's obviously lots of upside opportunity. There's great reasons to be involved in working for corporations. But I will say this, that if you have ideas of wanting to run your own business, having your own ideas that you can shape, that you can develop, that you can bring to the market, sometimes stepping outside of that corporate role and putting your toe in the water to see what it feels like to be able to shape and structure your own world and your own business, it's a remarkable thing.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. Although we're not the most politically correct around here, so it's okay to feel to not placate to everybody. Like, we're talking to the individuals I know who we would call entrepreneurs, those who are in that mindset like we were, who are maybe sitting in a corporate seat today listening to this podcast, who are like, you know what, I'm that odd duck out. I'm starting to feel like I'm sitting outside looking in, and I have that, what I call that entrepreneur. Some people call it wannapreneur. I think that's a little too derogatory, because it's like, you know, wanna something is more like I'm pontificating. I'm not really capable or able or even empowered to be that person. So not to throw it back on you, but at the same time, let's call it out for what it is. Those systems are literally geared to not give people the opportunity that you took, or make you feel like you can't take it, or it's too risky, or you're going to fail at it if you simply try anything, right?
Exactly.
So I know a lot of people just don't try at all, which I consider to be a failure of anything. Like, you, if you don't try something at all, how can you know you failed? You've actually failed before you even started. And
that's right. So let me ask you a question, because we, you know, there were some things that we didn't get to necessarily address when you and I had our earlier conversation on my podcast. But when you made the decision to leave the corporate world, what was the experience like for you? Was there fear involved there? Did you feel like you had an attachment there that was difficult to cut that cord? What were you thinking about, and how difficult was it, if it was difficult, to make the decision to leave?
You know, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that specific of a question about that. In honesty, like you, there was a number of points that added up to just a whole bundle of things I couldn't carry anymore. It was just too much. It wasn't like, hey, this person in the company I hated, and because of them, I jumped out. Or, hey, they did me wrong, you know, as a company, and I wanted to jump out. One of the instigators was one of the projects I was working on, some of the leadership in the project, and I didn't see the eye to eye as to way the business should be done. And after having done that my entire career, they wanted to shift things away from the way I know it should have been done, simply because they didn't understand. And so that resistance kicked in my natural drive to be to attack, my natural drive to like resist. And so that resistance in me like kicked in. And so all of a sudden, you know, I was no longer wanting to play by the rules of the way they had things set up. And because of that resistance, they could feel it. And then when they felt my resistance, they dug in deeper. And when they dug in deeper with reviews and with control over me to try to keep me down, I resisted that more. And that just turned into a bit of a battle. Who was the, you know, bigger ego at this point is basically what it shut into. And then there was mechanisms that started to open up the doors to, well, I could move to a different project. I could move outside of the that sector of the company to a whole different sector. Opportunities I was now looking for were presenting themselves as I changed my mindset and elevated my frequency. I believe opportunity is just a matter of frequency, and the opportunities come along and you are either elevating yourself to that frequency and it's available. You can call it spirituality. You can call it a God thing. You can call it just elevating your self-awareness to your capabilities and extending yourself beyond what is currently your, what is it, whatever it is holding you down. And then another series of events aligned themselves. Either I stepped into them or God presented them, however you want to say it in your world. Or those doors opened, and one of them was, you know, my wife was like, hey, if you don't want to be here anymore and you're not a happy person and you don't want to travel, then, you know, you shouldn't be doing it anymore. And there's a moment of empowerment. The company said, hey, go to Argentina, or maybe you're going to have to move completely different division and start over at a different pay grade. There's another moment of empowerment. Do I want to take that, or do I want to empower myself to move? There was just a number of those things that all of a sudden added up to my resistance to the whole environment. And just said, that's it. Like I'm ready to do this. And the moment I was ready to change that, I started to make movement towards that change, and the doors opened and they said, great, here's your severance package. And I said, perfect. I'm out of here. It just aligned, right?
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's a valuable lesson for all of us. And it's so interesting how once we start to look back and we're able to look at a situation through different optics, right? We start to see those signs. We start to see those things that were always there, but we either didn't want to see them. We were choosing to focus in other areas. But once those signs start to come into focus, it becomes so clear. And the answer is right in front of you. And it is amazing, to your point, that, you know, once you make the decision, once you've decided that this is the direction I'm going, I am sure of myself, I feel confident in what I'm doing, I'm making a decision here, opportunities start to open up. Those opportunities start to appear. Right. You elevate your
energy.
People
around you will feel that and they'll lift you up. And that's one of the things you mentioned. And one of the things I know occurred is that, like my wife or other people, there was less resistance to the change than I initially anticipated because of my fears.
That's right.
And because I was just afraid to even try to do it or whatever, there was an opportunity where I know that if I had backed down from that fear, if I had allowed them to kind of control that moment in time for me and the opportunity, I probably would have stayed an overweight, unhappy corporate guy. I never would have left.
Yeah. Same exact situation with me. I mean, I feel you on that. And I just want to speak to that fear for a moment, because there were a number of different things that were going through my mind when I knew that it was time to make the change. And I, in just a rush of emotions and thoughts that weren't rooted in reality, like there was self-doubt that I was experiencing. I'm telling myself, you know, Jesus, is this really the right decision? You may not have the knowledge to be able to do X, Y, Z. Are you truly ready for this? What happens if you fail? You know, all of these different things.
Risk.
I mean, it was all the self-talk that we all deal with. And what I had to learn to do was to create a bit of space between all of that chatter that was going on in my mind, plus having conversations with those who not only could help me process the information, but who knew enough about me to be able to say, look, get some perspective here, right? Look at what you have done. Look at what you've been able to accomplish. You've done this before. You've done this. There's no reason why you can't do this. So, you know, I started to work on that, started to kind of re-coach myself on the self-talk itself, right? And look at what's reality versus what I'm the story that I'm telling myself.
We all hear the same narrative and bullet points, and, you know, you got to be careful, because this is one thing I did recognize about it. Outside of my wife, your family and friends will be the first people to beat you down when it comes to doing your own business. Elon Musk, I think, said something in relevance to this recently. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it had to do with the similar topic of, you know, those are the first people to be the most critical of you. Instead of throwing start your new business shower and a start your new business party, they'll do it for all these other things in your life, but they won't do it for the things that maybe matter the most, the things that can change you and impact you the most, and give you the position in which I now recognize to help others train their brain away from negative mindsets and away from the situation they're dealing with now, and to help them and be empowering them through servant leadership to move to a different position, to move what I call, you know, out of your subconscious mind into your conscious mind, that awareness state that all these things are around you, but you won't receive them or you won't get into the right conscious state until you move and train your brain to start seeing those things. And as you start to see those things and take action on them, new doors will open, new opportunities will be there. And of course, there will be negative people there right alongside with you who are going to
exactly
feel that fear and think completely differently than you, right? They're going to think this is nuts. This is, I mean, if you look back at my path after I made that decision, what you will see very quickly from it was my wife and I had just gotten married in March. In June, I rolled out to start my new management consulting company outside of IBM. In September, we found out we were pregnant. By December, she was having to go on bed rest and could no longer, she was employed as an RN, and she was going to be the income that bridged the difference between my starting the company and going. And then by the year later, June year later, she was no longer able to work due to medical issues, and we had no income. And I just started this business a year prior, and we had a new baby and a new life, new marriage, all of that in 1 year. Like everything, everybody you think could deal, and we were dealing with some very terrible medical conditions that were causing her to have trans ischemic attacks, and it was very terrible. We weren't sure she was going to live through the next one, and it was a crazy time, but it was never the right time. Like I look back on it now, and I go, well, if I just waited a couple years later, was the 2008, 2009, 2010 debacle. When I barely got my business going and there was just enough business to keep us kind of going through all that massive change that some people remember, there was never going to be a right time, Jay.
That's right.
I know that intrinsically now. I know it's not like pontification. I know it's not like marketing language and feel good crap. There was just never going to be the right time.
Yeah, you're so right. But now that's something that you were able to experience yourself and you are able to articulate that now. So
yes.
Think about the people that like, individuals that I coach, whether
absolutely
it's entrepreneurs, small business owners, who maybe haven't gone through that same experience, but they're having those same kinds of questions. Well, maybe I should wait 6 months. Maybe I should wait until. Well, if we keep waiting until there's a perfect scenario,
magic moment,
we're never going to execute, right? Because
you're never going to
really
execute.
You won't. There is no perfection. The goal here is progress. So what can I do in this moment? What steps can I take? There are things that are going to be outside of my control. There are always going to be things outside of my control. But what are the things that I can control, right? Control the controllables, make your decisions, move forward, have a plan. I'm not saying go into something and have no earthly idea what you're doing, right? But execute. Let nothing stop you from executing.
We tell my people all the time, take imperfect action and something perfect will happen along the way. But it's that first step of action. You just have to make that first step. And that's from moving from a subconscious idea of fears, what's going to happen, what will go wrong, what if my job doesn't work, what if the business doesn't go, what if my wife loses her job, what if something medical happens, what if something happens in the world? I mean, you can literally fear yourself into a corner. What if we have a pandemic? Right? I mean, the last few years have been a strange time, but they've also been an amazing time for people to actually stop, look, and refocus. For those who are paying attention, I've seen a lot of people do that in the last few years who have looked at it and said, okay, you know what? All of that other stuff, this is a major shift for me to move to a lifestyle, to a business, to a plan of action that moves me forward. And we're not just talking about e-commerce, Jay. I mean, we're talking about business. We're talking about financial investments. We're talking about starting a franchise. We're talking about building your own company of some kind. It doesn't really matter. What matters was, we're talking to those people who have that heart mindset and fear of maybe starting a business of some kind and want to move from that intrapreneur people that we were previously into the entrepreneur. And what you've heard today, folks, and Jay sharing some really great stuff is literally there's not a perfect time to do it. You heard our experience. I mean, he was in 30 years of corporate. You're lucky you got out at all.
True. That is so true. I want to mention something that you just hit on. And, as we look at coming out of the pandemic, I remember when this first started, one of the very first things that I did is I contacted a friend and a business associate of mine. We knew there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't know what was going to happen next. There was a lot of news stories and things were really starting to get pretty shaky, right? So we said, you know what? Let's flip on a camera. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about those feelings. Let's talk about that fear and let's see if we can provide something of value to people that they may be able to take this and either learn something or at least realize that I'm not the only one feeling this way, right? So we did that. But one of the things that came out of it, which was pretty remarkable, was that there were so many people that looked at that situation and saw where the opportunities were, right? That looked at it and said, you know what? Terrible thing, right? We don't want to see anyone have any health issues. On the flip side of that, there's tremendous opportunity here. What does that look like? Let me get clarity around that. What could I possibly do to help and to serve and maybe create something that could be beneficial for others? And then on the other side of that coin, there were others that only saw the negativity, that only saw the problems, right? They couldn't quite see around that to navigate toward a solution, toward an opportunity. So you've got a bit of a dichotomy there. But once you start to really look for solutions, you find them. You find them and you find opportunities and you find people because you attract people into your world based on what you put out, right? Based on your energy, based on the person that you are. You start to attract people into your world who you can collaborate, who you can share best practices with, who you can start a business with, right? Who you can grow and look for more solutions and work off of each other's bandwidth and do so much more together. So my message in all of that is always look for the solutions. Focus, be that person who's looking for the opportunities, who's looking to serve, who's looking to create a solution for someone else so you can solve a problem that others have. When you do that, you will always figure out a way to create success in your personal and professional life.
Amazing. Thank you, Jace, for sharing that so much. Folks, if you have gotten anything out of today, I encourage you to go out, Google Jace Shear Consulting, take a look. He's on LinkedIn. We'll have his links in the show notes. He's on Facebook. You can go connect with him on Instagram and a bunch of other places. Learn about what he's doing if you've gotten any value from today, and I hope you did. You should understand the simple phrase, feel the fear and do it anyways. Thank you so much, Jay, for coming on today.
Neil, thank you for having me. I'm grateful for you. Appreciate you.
If you like this episode, please share it with people you think will enjoy it as well. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode of High Voltage Business Builders.